If you are thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, maybe it's audio only, or with video, please keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions that I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really, really opened up my possibilities of who I could have on a guest. I wasn't limited to the people who I could get in person anymore. I have recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere from just a handful of miles away from where I am in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. So the video and the audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone. And getting the files couldn't be easier. I really, really love that Zencastr records the audio and the video to the person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered when you get things like internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and then processes the files so you can directly download them right from the platform. The files are even accessible if something goes wrong. And this next part, I'm going to basically read verbatim because I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need lots of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcast platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. So, go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, all one word, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. Hello, word nerds. The episode that you are about to hear took place at April 18th, 7:03 a.m. Hi, my name is Spencer. Let's talk about the words in this episode. Okay, let's do that. The first word is the second form of exhibit, noun from 1626. One, a document or material object produced and identified in court or before an examiner for use as evidence. I think when I was talking about that yesterday in the previous episode, what was that, the verb form? I think that was the verb. So you are exhibiting things in that context, but I was talking about it as like, this is the thing that I'm exhibiting. I am exhibiting the exhibit. Exhibit T. Some chapstick. Oh, what did he do with the chapstick? Okay, number two is something exhibited. Your emotions might be exhibited. 3, an act or instance of exhibiting. And the synonym is exhibition. Ooh, are we going to talk about that in the next word? Yes, we are. But first, I must make a sound effect, which will be... Hoo-hoo-hoo! The next word is exhibition. Noun from the 14th century. Number 1, an act or instance of exhibiting. So, it's so clever. Let's see. Number 2 is British. This is a grant drawn from the funds of a school or a university to help maintain a student. So they call that an exhibition. If a student doesn't have a lot of funds to pay for the probably relatively cheap school or university, at least in comparison to American prices, if they can't pay for it, then they get this exhibition grant to help pay for them. Wonder why they call it an exhibition. Is there etymology? There's not even any etymology, so we'll never know. 3, a public showing as of works of art, objects of manufacture, or athletic skill. A public showing, that's the whole thing. That's a, you're showing anything in a public way, then that's an exhibition. You could be showing art. Yes, there are art exhibitions. Objects of manufacture. Maybe like the Columbian Exposition, the World's Fair. They're like, hey, come look at all this really cool tech and things that we made. Come, people from all over the world, come to our exposition. Our exhibition. Was it the Columbian Exhibition or the Columbian? Oh, now I don't remember which one it is. That's okay. And then what, athletic skill? Oh yes, people, they want to show off their fancy athletic skills. They can jump so high, they can run so fast, they can do somersaults and backflips, and they can walk silly, so they have to exhibit that out for the people to see. There's an example, a one-man exhibition. It's just all of the athletic skills that he can do. Also is in an exhibition game. I've heard of these, never really knew what they were. I guess it's just like, is this just a game where they can show off their skills? Do the Harlem Globetrotters play exhibition games? They don't count for the NBA because they're not part of the NBA. They're just fun. It's just fun. We need fun. We need entertainment. Entertain me, please, with your exhibition. Your one-man exhibition. You've made all of the art in this show. This stupid paper and paper clip and things. Can you please behave? Okay, I'll behave. The next word is exhibitioner. Noun from 1679. This one is British, and it is one who holds a grant from a school or university. I guess this would be the student who gets the exhibition so then they can go to school and learn, because everybody should have the right to learn. Please and thank you. Next is exhibitionism. 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 That's emphasized. Noun from 1893. 1A. Okay, we're jumping right into this. I'm just going to say right here in the front, the words that they use are probably judgmental, and, you know, the dictionary isn't itself judgmental. I think it's more like, it's just taking what most of society thinks. Most. I don't even know if that's true. It's sort of the cultural idea of this thing. But you don't know what society thinks. You can't... I don't like one of these first words that I see. So, maybe there's been an... I will plug another podcast, Taboo Science. I don't know if Ashley has done an episode on this, but maybe if she hasn't, she will eventually. So, let's talk about what the dictionary has to say about exhibitionism. 1A, a perversion in which sexual gratification is obtained from the indecent exposure of one's genitals, and how are they exposing this? Maybe to a stranger. Not somebody they know, a stranger. Okay, what's 1B? An act of such exposure. So let's break this down. A perversion in which sexual gratification is obtained from the indecent. Okay, so basically what it's saying is that the person, there is a person who is exposing themselves, probably their naked body, their genitals, some part of them, probably more physically than emotionally, but maybe emotionally as well. They are exposing this to people they do not know, maybe on a stage, maybe in a window, whatever, and they get sexual gratification from it. There's a difference, I think, between this and somebody who's like just doing this as a job. Sex work is work. And so they're like, oh, this gets me going. This gets me Randy when I get to show myself off to people who I don't know. And, oh, yeah, I just feel like this book is like our new versions using this same word, perversion. I'm not so sure about that. I'm going to do a quick little look on this page, this internet page. If I can type in this long word and see, has it been updated? Nope, still says perversion. Great job, people. Okay. Yeah, I feel like that's not the proper word to use anymore. Number two for exhibitionism is the act or practice of behaving so as to attract attention to oneself. I guess that's what I'm doing. Can't help it. I'm putting this out there in the world to attract some attention because I want you to learn. I want you to be entertained. I want to entertain you. So I am being an exhibitionist, which is a noun or adjective. I am not showing off my body. I get no satisfaction from that. Nobody wants to see that. Okay? That's off the table. But you know, I think there's a part of me for sure that's like, yeah, take a look. Look at me. Listen to me. And another part of me is like, just go. I can leave me alone, please. I battle with this all the time. Okay, exhibitionistic, that's an adjective. Exhibitionistically, that's an adverb. Exhibitionistically, they took off their clothes exhibitionistically. Yeah, okay. Yep, it's just showing off the goods. Hoo-hoo-hoo! The next word is exhilarate. Exhilarate. E-X-H-I-L-A-R-A-T-E. Verb, I think it is just a transitive verb from the 1540. Number one. To make cheerful and excited. The synonym is enliven, or also elate, as in was exhilarated by her success. He was so proud when she finished the race. He said, oh, good job. I'm so elated. I'm so enlivened. You have enlivened me. I'm exhilarated by your success. That's good. That's good that somebody's success can spread to other people. Number two, the synonyms are refresh and stimulate. There's no example or anything for that one. Just refresh and stimulate is exhilarate. I am, when I go outside and it's a little brisk, I'm refreshed. So it exhilarates me. It gets my blood going. Hoo 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 hoo. Let's start the day. Exhilaratingly is an adverb, and exhilarative, that is an adjective. Anything, okay, this is from, we got some etymology. This is from the Latin verb exhilarare, hasn't changed much, which is from the ex prefix plus hilare, no, hilarare, missed a syllable there. Hilarare means to gladden. Hilarus means cheerful. And there's more at the word hilarious. Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, exhilarate. I am exhilarated because I am gladdened, cheerful, hilarious, and that was great. Hoo-hoo-hoo. The next word is exhilaration. Noun from 1622. Number one, the act of exhilarating is exhilaration. Two, the feeling or the state of being exhilarated. When I am exhilarated, when I am excited and enlivened and all just ready to go, maybe taking off my clothes in front of the people would be, I would be in a state of exhilaration, because that would be crazy. I would never do that. Hoo-hoo. The next word is exhort. Exhort or exhort. It's spelled exhort. The pronunciation says exhort. Whatever way you want to say it, I think is fine. E-X-H-O-R-T. This is a verb from the 15th century starting with transitive. To incite by argument or advice, and then also urge strongly, as in exhort voters to do the right thing. Well, what is the right thing? That's why we vote, because people feel differently about what the right thing is. You're like, do the right thing. And they're like, that's different than your right thing. So I'm going to do my right thing because I can vote, and I'm going to vote about what I feel. Let's point some more. Got to watch the video for that one. Exhort. Okay, you're by argument or advice, urging strongly. Yes, like, okay, I'm going to give you some advice. I'm going to argue that you do this thing. I'm going to push you, urge you. Come on. I'm going to exhort you to check out this show, but you're already checking out this show. I'm exhorting you to tell other people to watch this show. Intransitive is to give warnings or advice, and also make urgent appeals. To give warnings or advice. So how is this intransitive versus transitive? You're just, is the one where you're just putting it out into the ether, the second one, the intransitive one, I'm just going to put this stuff out there. I'm going to give warnings or advice. But the transitive is more forceful, maybe, but it's still coming from the same person, the same source. What is the difference? I'm not sure. Exhorter, that is a noun. This is from the Latin verb. This is, you know, we've seen this, the whole EX section, we've seen this. The Latin verb exhortari, which is from ex plus hortari. And there, that means to incite. And there's more at the word yearn. I yearn to incite justice. I have seen this a lot in these etymologies. The Latin verbs are often, they often end in A-R-E, I think. Like, what did we have? Exhilarare. But sometimes they end in an I. Ari, exhortari. And I don't know enough about Latin. I don't remember enough about Latin to know why. Why do some end that way? Is that a form of the word? Why wouldn't you put the word? Is it exhortare? Or is this just a certain type of verb that ends in I? I don't know. Should have asked that to Helen Zaltzman when she was on. She may have known. I bet you she would have known. Okay. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Next is exhortation. 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 Exhortation? Yeah, various forms of the pronunciation. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, an act or instance of exhorting. Two, language intended to incite and encourage. The language intended to incite. So, let's get it, let's do it. Push it out, shove it out, way out. I think that was a Cosby joke, and I probably shouldn't be telling Cosby jokes. go it, you can get it, do it, jump higher, run faster. Those are all exhortations. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Exhortative is next. Exhortative. This is an adjective from the 15th century, serving to exhort. So it's an adjective. So you're describing something that will exhort. So maybe the words, the phrases, the actions. Maybe if you get real all up in somebody's face, that action would be exhortative. Maybe waving your fists around would be an exhortative action. Next is exhortatory. I think that's it. Exhortatory. Adjective from the 15th century. Using exhortation, and the synonym is our previous word, exhortative, as in an exhortatory appeal. An exhortatory appeal. So this appeal, maybe you're appealing a court case, and it's serving to exhort. You are okay. I get it. So you're urging them to appeal. That's why it's exhortatory, because you are pushing them. You're saying, I would like to appeal now, please and thank you, because I did not do the thing that you said I did. So let's appeal. And it's using exhortation. It's an act or instance of exhorting. Yeah, it's trying to be persuasive. Use an argument. Gotcha. Thanks, book. Woo-hoo. Exhume is next. Or exhume. This is a transitive verb from the 15th century. Number one, the synonym is disinter or disinter. I think it's disinter or disinter. Disinter, maybe. As in, exhume a body. And I don't specifically remember reading disinter. I mean, but I also sort of know the word. It's like when you're interred, I guess. You're in either in the ground or in one of those boxes, one of those things on a wall. Maybe your ashes are in there. Yes, exhume is... let's just keep on reading the definitions, because maybe one of these is going to give some more specifics. I could tell you, but I'd rather have the book tell you. Through me. I am the book's vessel. I'm channeling the book. Number two, to bring back from neglect or obscurity, as in exhumed a great deal of information from the archives. And that's not at all about a body. That's about just stuff, something maybe some book that hasn't been found, that's way in the back of the library, and people have forgotten about it, and you gotta go find this. And the example was exhumed a great deal of information from the archives. Yes, the archives, it's the history. That's where you go to find the past. What do they have to say? Let's exhume it. We were watching Northern Exposure. We're still watching Northern Exposure. And there was an episode where he goes to get some old files, some artifacts. He exhumes a box of things from 40 years earlier, I think, if I remember correctly, about the person who used to live in his cabin. So he exhumed some glasses and a pipe and photos, I think. And what else did he exhume? Maybe something else. Okay, but if we go back to our number one definition, it's all about literally taking a body out of its grave. You got to dig down, 4 or 5 feet until you get to the coffin, assuming that they're in a coffin. And then you got to open the coffin. Sleepy Hollow, they exhumed some bodies. I feel like X-Files probably exhumed a lot of bodies. Lots of shows and movies have to exhume bodies, because they got to go see, I think there's some evidence in that body. Or maybe, is the body not there? What happened to the body? There's supposed to be a body here. Why are we whispering? crap, we lost the body. Exhumation is a noun, and exhumer. Exhumer. Lots of ways to say it. That is also a noun. This is from the Middle Latin exhumare, which is from the Latin ex, which means out of. Why is sometimes it's the word ex and sometimes it's the prefix ex? It seems like they practically mean the same thing. But anyway, ex, which means out of, plus humus, H-U-M-U-S, which means earth. And I don't think that that's related to hummus made with chickpeas, but boy, I'm really curious about that now. And but because chickpea, I mean, they're from the earth, right? But oh boy, I'm like looking into my future as I go through this page by page. Is this a future that I will see? I just wanna do a look, if you'll allow me to. Look at the etymology for hummus, whatever way you want to say that word. Okay. Nope. It is not related at all. And I'm glad that I now know that. We'll get there eventually. Don't you worry. Probably in three-ish years. Okay. Let's see. There's more at the word ex-humble. Ex-humble? Ex-humble. Oh, no. Sorry. I combined things. I thought that it was saying that the word goes over to the next line. There's more at the prefix ex and also the word humble. Because I was like, ex-humble? Wouldn't that like be right here? No, that's not a word. Humble. Humble means, is related to humus, which means earth. So it's like you're from the earth, you go to the earth, you put earth on you to show that you're, I don't know. Now I'm just making stuff up. Ooh. The next word is ex-hypothesi. This is two words. X is the first word. Hypothesi is the next word. H-Y-P-O-T-H-E-S-I. Ex-hypothesi is an adverb from 1603. According to assumptions made. That's the first part of the definition. According to assumptions made, and then also by hypothesis. So here is a quote from P.G.J. Pulitzer, and the quote is, I shall read, regard all elites as ex hypothesi incompatible with democracy. All right, my brain, I need to break this down. Let's see. So if it's according to assumptions made, we regard all elites as according to assumptions made incompatible with democracy. So we are making assumptions about these elites, and based on those assumptions, they don't work with democracy. I'm a little confused about this specific example. I think I need more context about who or what P.G.J. Pulitzer was talking about. But by hypothesis, so it's basically like, all right, I've got some thoughts about this thing. I have assumptions about this topic. And then I put in this phrase, ex-hypothesi, to basically show that I have made some thoughts and assumptions and a hypothesis about this topic. I guess, I don't really know. This is not a thing that I think people use anymore. It's an old Latin phrase, it looks like. Let's talk about where it came from. It's New Latin, which just means from a hypothesis. So this thing, ex-hypothesi, this thing is from a hypothesis that I came up with. It's an educated guess. This is what I think. Hypothesis. I mean, we talked about this in the Natalia Reagan evolution episode. Hypothesis is an educated guess of like, I think this is what's going to happen. I think this is, but I need to do some testing. I need to figure this out. Sometimes people don't test out their hypotheses. Okay, interesting one. I don't think I will ever use it in my day-to-day language because I don't really know how. Ooh. Next is exigence. Exigence. E-X-I-G-E-N-C-E. Noun from the 15th century. And the synonym is our next and last word, which is hoo-hoo-hoo. Exigency. Exigency? Exigency. Either one of those is fine. Exigency. E-X-I-G-E-N-C-Y. Why? Because we must do this podcast. By the way, I will quickly say that it looks like probably these two words are also related to the first word in the next episode, but you're going to have to wait for that. So exigency is a noun from 1581. Number one, that which is required in a particular situation. This is usually used in plural, as in, exceptionally quick in responding to the exigencies of modern warfare. And that is a quote from D.B. Ottaway. Out of my way, Ottaway, O-T-T-A-W-A-Y. So, exceptionally quick in responding to the exigencies of modern warfare, that which is required in a particular situation. We require these things for modern warfare. We need guns and ammo and right now drones and planes and boats and people and technology. I mean, that's modern warfare. It's all technology. That which is required in a particular situation. Exigencies. Okay, it's just those are the things that are required in that particular situation. Okay. Number 2A is the quality or state of being exigent, which will be in the next episode. Probably something about it's required in a situation. I'm going to guess. The quality or state of being required. Hopefully I'm correct. 2B is a state of affairs that makes urgent demands, as in, a leader must act in any sudden exigency. Any sudden state that needs urgent demands. Well, yes, so lots of leaders. So for the sake of example, President Bush, W. Bush, when 9/11 happened, it's a noun. So he was in exigency, I guess, because he had to make some sudden decisions when the planes hit the buildings. So, I don't really know how to use this in context exactly. A leader must act in any sudden exigency. It's just a situation that requires some urgent stuff, urgent demands, urgent decisions. A synonym is the word juncture. So you're at a juncture. You have to choose which way to go. Do I make these urgent decisions? Do I make the decisions to go that way or decisions to go that way or maybe no decisions at all? There's no etymology because we are going to get it in the next word. But it's about demands. Okay, you know what time it is, everybody. Say it with me. It's word of the episode time, yeah. So today we had exhibit, exhibition, exhibitioner, exhibitionism, exhilaration. You got to get that Z sound. Exhilaration. Exhort. Exhortation, exhortative, exhortatory, exhume, ex-hypothesi, exigence, and exigency. Let's see. I'm trying to think about which one. I mean, exhilarate, that's kind of fun. It's fun to be exhilarated. I can't be exhilarated all the time, but sometimes I like to be exhilarated. Exhuming bodies is exhilarating. Nah, not for me. Okay, I have a movie that I can tell you about. If you listen all the way this far, sometimes I tell you about a movie that I watched most of the time, in fact. And just last night, we watched a new movie called The First Omen. And I sort of remember the First Omen movie. I don't think I saw the sequels. This is clearly a prequel. Anytime you do a prequel, you got to throw in the word first. The First Quiet Place. I don't think that's what it's called. What is that one called? The First Purge. I think that was one. So this is The First Omen, and it tells the story of what happened before the Omen movie, and I won't give any spoilers or anything like that, but I will say that there are moments that are very artsy, which is great to see. There's a lot, the way that it was shot overall was very reminiscent of the first Omen movie. That's confusing to say. The Omen movie that came out the first time, the first one that came out in the 70s, I think. They go real far into the special effects. I really, really liked how realistic those special effects were. I think that a lot of them were practical. I'm sure there was some CGI, of course, but, you know, I think a lot of that was practical, gross effects, which was great. And what else do I got to say about it? Interesting story. I enjoyed it, and I wasn't really connected to the Omen story, but now I'm curious to rewatch that original one and then maybe the sequels, and I'm curious to see where they go from here. I wouldn't be surprised if they make some more. Maybe the next one will be The Second Omen. Okay, that's going to be the end of this episode. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.